Blog Talk Radio.
Live in the building, and we are all the way live right now. We're live with the one and only, the author, Joe Braxton, and we're going to be talking about his survival, his book, and we're also going to be talking about basically how to overcome molestation, prevention, and things of that sort. So we're going to be talking about that today, live on the show. So chime in, you can call in. Well, you can definitely check us right now because we're live. We're going to be live at 4:05 on Facebook Live, and we're going to be taking comments and things like that in a few minutes. So right now, like I said, we're live with the one and only Joe Braxton.
There you go.
And we're live. I'm moving around, so so you know, don't judge me. We're using some new technology, we live TV and stuff like that. So you guys should be able to see Joe right now talking and things like that of that sort. So, Joe, talk to us. So tell us, you know, first I'm proud of you, you know, for, you know, this is a big step for you, breaking your silence, because a lot of people go and they live their life in silence forever, and then it leads to suicidal thoughts, you know, withdrawn from relationships or interaction with people. You have big trust issues and things like that. And it's a very traumatizing situation, you know, people being touched. We know years and years of, you know, going from like the Catholic Church times of them touching young boys, and also, you know, these college football, you know, football coaches. You know, we heard that Temple University situation with the coach, and then also, you know, if you watch the movie Woman Down Out Loose, you know, her being touched at a young age, and her being a walking time bomb, you know, being a harm to yourself or even being harm to others, you know, without seeking counseling and things like that. What inspired you to break the silence now in your life?
Well, it started a few years ago. I keep repeating this. I was in the deepest depression or dark period of time in my life, and I got on my knees and I prayed to God. I needed a way out. I was tired of living in darkness. So I thought about ways that I could still help others and help myself. So I thought about writing Still Breathing, How to Regain Your Life After Being Robbed, which is a self-help book. It's been getting great reviews. It's my story, my reflection of my life and the trauma I've dealt with, being a survivor of molestation, sexual assault, sexual abuse. Now it's also Sexual Assault Awareness Month, SAM. So I figured it's a pretty important time to get this out to help others out there. But how it begins, how it started for me, there's so many things in life you go through, and there's triggers, and there are certain triggers that can make you relive what you went through. So take for instance the movie Get Out, that sunken place. So I mean, I've seen the movie about three times, and every time that second place scene comes on, I just bawl in tears because I've felt as though I've lived in that sunken place for the last 24 years of my life, and now I'm kind of breaking free from that place. So, like I said, every time I see that scene, I just go into tears, and it's tough. The effects of molestation, it can weigh on your life, and it definitely has weighed on mine because I've gone through some things, I've been through some things, and feel a miracle that I'm still here.
Exactly.
So, and another story I want to bring up, I don't know if you saw the Khalif Browder story.
Uh-huh.
He was, you know, he was dealt with being locked up,
uh-huh.
and wasn't charged with anything, and he had to deal with the depression, the side effects of being locked down and things like that. So I kind of can relate to that story as well. So it these are, like I said, there are always triggers, but you have to be strong and you have to be able to fight through it. So
exactly.
Now it's me. It's me here. I'm trying to – I haven't fully represented myself the way I should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see this Joe, but there's another Joe inside of me that mm-hmm. no one has ever really knew. So
exactly.
Now I'm trying to bring that Joe out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the purpose of it. I'm trying to continue still breathing and live a more positive life.
Well, what actually triggered you and said, okay, I need to tell my story?
Because I wanted to like I said, not only help myself
uh-huh.
but help others.
Okay.
Because there are so many people out here who have gone through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Males, black males,
mm-hmm.
and they're too afraid to tell anyone about it. And so I figured that was my fear of anybody finding out. So I figured now I could help change that. And
uh-huh.
so with my book, I am changing that. So to help others, to help others break free of their pain. So
exactly, I actually was. I was hurt, and I was like, I started crying.
Yeah.
The book is so intriguing. It'll suck you in,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, okay, I gotta keep reading because it's like, and you told the story in first person,
mm-hmm.
so you actually like. We're that child. Like
yeah.
I feel like I'm that child
yeah.
being touched at that age,
yeah.
you know. And it's like I'm like going through the motions with you, and it just took me through a journey. And it's sad because this is something that you know a lot of our children are facing right now.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we look at authority figures as the people we trust, we can confide in,
mm-hmm.
people that you know we definitely need to you know tell all our secrets and stuff.
Yeah.
But there are pedophiles and there are people that that are predators
mm-hmm.
that try to, you know, take a child that they feel is mm-hmm. weak or feels lonely or vulnerable
mm-hmm.
and takes advantage of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things they like, whether it's candy, whether it's
yeah.
toys or going
yeah.
to the movies. If they lost their father, they have that father figure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking up to that person. You're never going to think that person will do something
yeah.
so vicious
yeah.
to an individual, you
mm-hmm.
know. And we've heard stories like, we talked about, like, Temple University,
mm-hmm.
where you had the situation with the coach
yeah.
and everything. And it took years before people could talk about that.
Yeah.
And then we also talked about the situation with the controversy with African Bambaataa and stuff
mm-hmm.
in regards to, you know, people are coming out, like, 50-some
yeah.
years old saying they've been touched. Now,
mm-hmm.
usually when you have pedophiles, they've been touched.
Yeah.
in their past life, which caused them to have to.
But also, that was the goal of my book.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't to incriminate anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was also, people say, Joe, why won't you expose your abuser?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, I don't want to incriminate anyone. I'm protecting their families. I'm protecting a lot of. Because today, this day and time, children can be vicious, and I don't want their children growing up being teased and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel as though this book can help the abusers as well. They can see the effects of their choices, mm-hmm. and the consequences that the survivors have to deal with.
Exactly.
So they may also want to try and seek help. They need to get help, not try, but they have to get help. Yeah, they have to get help as well and figure out what's going on. Even though a lot of them are in denial of what they've gone through,
exactly.
but there's still something inside of them that makes them do the abuse. So
exactly. It's a sad situation. What are some of the points in your book that you kind of I don't know if I can even continue writing this. It's like you're reliving this whole situation again.
Well, each chapter, how I wrote the book, it's pretty short and straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want like a big novel. Mm-hmm. But each chapter it's kind of deep. It tells a different chapter of my life. But I don't know how to explain it, but it's deep. But like, just say for instance, afraid of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel loved unless you treated me badly, you abused me, and that's an effect of the trauma of the abuse of the
exactly.
sex abuse. So it played on a lot of thoughts. You have to read.
You have to definitely read the book because there was a time when it made you feel as if it was a form of love.
Yeah.
And a lot of women that have been in women and men that have been in abusive relationships or they've dealt with rape and things like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it switches on into like a sexual need.
Yeah.
To a point too also. Or it feels like that's the only way I can feel love from any individual. If you're nice, I feel like something's up.
Well, yeah, even though it played on my relationships, even though I was into this person,
mm-hmm.
it never satisfied me. I still had to go back to the abuser. The abuser is who satisfied
mm-hmm.
me. So no matter who I was with, it always went back to them. And I just had to have to break out of this. This is
mm-hmm.
this is unhealthy for me. If not, I mean, I've been through also the suicide period where
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be anymore. I mean, I wanted to give up many times, and because this, people don't realize the trauma that this can have on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could. Every day I fight to stay sane.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could really be really crazy. I don't know if people think I'm crazy, but I really could be crazy. Like,
exactly.
But I fight every day to stay sane. And it's a battle that I'm going to win. And I'm winning, but I'm going to keep fighting every day to win it. So.
Well, I can definitely relate because I suffer from my own depression
mm-hmm.
and dealing with anxiety
PTSD.
And stuff, or with PTSD and stuff, being a veteran. And also, we have a lot of sexual trauma veterans actually I had one of my veterans, he said, you know, Tommy, he says this scenario, Tommy goes into the military being Tommy, and when Tommy comes out, he's not Tommy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you go there as a young veteran and there's soldiers in there taking advantage of other young soldiers and taking, you know, their precious jewel away from them, and which is sad, and also with some of these women too. So to have that trust and to deal with somebody is totally
mm-hmm.
different. And then being at young that age, it's hard for you to actually comprehend what exactly is
mm-hmm.
going on with me. Is this wrong? It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did exactly did you decide, okay, because I know it got to a point where you're like, okay, I got to stop. When did you say, okay, I gotta stop this? Like, at what age did you say I need to stop? It just needs to stop.
It was about 2-3 years ago.
Two, three years ago.
So it's something that went on since 11 years old.
Wow. So it was, I know as a young age, I know he threatened you. It was
mm-hmm.
a lot of like, you know,
fear
of, oh, he's going to hurt me. He's going to hurt my family and things like that. So I guess with silence, you felt like you might be protecting your family doing something like that, I guess.
Well, I also did that. I was protecting myself because there was always that fear. I was told if I ever told anyone, they would find one inside of a milk carton box. And
exactly.
and I, took it to heart, 100%, mm-hmm. 100%. And even though, I mean, the book is out now, mm-hmm. what's done is done. Like I said, I'm not incriminating anyone, mm-hmm. but, I mean, they also have to realize what they've done.
Exactly.
And I'm not looking for an apology.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to understand what they've done,
mm-hmm.
and get help for themselves.
Exactly.
Because I'm in the process of healing through
healing,
my process.
Yes,
healing through my pain. So,
yeah. And your story will definitely touch mm-hmm. somebody else's. And for you guys that don't know, Still Breathing by Joe Braxton, make sure you pick up the book on Amazon.
Yeah.
And all of you guys right here, pick it up on Amazon. You guys,
Barnes & Noble,
Kindle, everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You can Google it. It's an amazing book. It will definitely touch home. And there's a stereotype. A lot of people feel that if, especially for men, I guess it's more of an ego thing or mm-hmm. machismo. Like, they feel that if a man is automatically touched, he's automatically gay.
Yeah.
You're classified as gay. But that's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. I mean, I know a lot of men personally who have gone through this,
mm-hmm.
who have, since Still Breathing has been released, they
mm-hmm.
have come to me and shared their story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to label them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to label myself
mm-hmm.
because even though you have to read the book to get more in detail of what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to label myself to being this or that
mm-hmm.
because
and you shouldn't have to label
you
yourself.
Have to. I'm not gonna do it because
uh-huh.
I like everybody.
Exactly.
So that may have affected a certain part of my life, which I've known for a lot of years. But I'm going to keep fighting to continue to get to know myself
mm-hmm.
in other ways. So, but I know a lot of men won't find Still Breathing appealing
mm-hmm.
because sometimes it may be telling their truth
exactly.
and they don't want to admit it.
Because some people still are in denial.
This is happening to everyone. So
there are some adults that are still dealing with it at
yeah.
this moment,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely something. And sometimes it's a cycle.
Yeah,
you have some people that have been doing this from years and years
actually,
and years.
Sometimes it's a family cycle.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's all kind of cycles. So it's close friends. It's all kind of cycles. So I guess back to the prevention
mm-hmm.
and molestation part.
Yes.
I guess,
can we do to prevent, I know we can't protect
mm-hmm.
them all the time, but what can we do to help save our kids?
You just have to be a little more involved in their lives,
mm-hmm.
Have them feel comfortable with coming to you. Talk to them about their bodies. Talk to them about life,
mm-hmm.
and let them know that it's okay to talk to them. And right now, let them know that this April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month,
mm-hmm.
and let them know that what it represents and mm-hmm. why it's there. And so if anybody was to touch them in any inappropriately or to always come to them, and it's okay to talk to them about that. So I think the thing is you just have to sometimes stop, take a little bit of your time and listen to your kids. And if you notice any drastic changes in them, or if they start shutting down, or if you feel like you see if they're building walls up, I mean, those are signs of certain things like that. So
what do you feel is the number one thing that will stand out if a child has experienced something like that? That parents can definitely notice.
Well, sometimes, I mean, if you see them hanging around someone too much, or they just become like very secretive, and like I said, they start building walls up.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to start asking questions and try to get them to be a little more comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
now in the process of if they have been touched, what are some of the organizations? What do you feel are some of the steps
mm-hmm.
you need to take with your child if this situation happens, and also getting the child to open up to you because I know they'll
yeah.
be scared. It's hard to kind of open up and share that situation.
Yeah, I guess it'll start with building a trusting relationship. You can start seeing a therapist. Also, RAINN, RAINN. It's like one of the nation's largest sexual assault, rape, Foundations in space here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
There's also No More.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few organizations you can talk to help them, I guess, be a little bit more comfortable in sharing their stories. And
mm-hmm.
so I guess it is good to catch it early
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, my situation, which went on over 24 years. And
yeah.
like I said, it's a blessing that I'm still here and still sane.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, you just have to be more involved in your children's life or anyone's life. If that
exactly.
matters, yeah.
And what do you feel that you've learned through your journey on doing this book and situation, this whole book? What have you learned?
Well, I've learned that releasing Still Breathing, How to Regain Your Life After Being Robbed, it made me a little stronger. It's helping me release that Joe that's been hiding inside me for so many years. Like I said, I've always represented what your outward appearance you get, the shy Joe. Releasing Still Breathing, it's kind of helped me release that inner Joe that's always been wanting to come out.
Yeah, that's
so
locked up.
And locked up for so
uh-huh.
many years. So now, each day goes by, I mean, more and more I'm getting more comfortable
mm-hmm.
with who I am. So, and I like to be honest. So if you want anything you want to know about me,
mm-hmm.
just ask me. So I try to be as honest as I can. Sometimes it gets me in trouble because I speak my mind
mm-hmm.
a lot. But this is my process of growing into, well, getting to know who I am.
Because
mm-hmm. like I said, it's been locked away for so many years. So a lot of people hadn't understood me for a while. They didn't know who I was.
Uh-huh.
Or what is Joe about? What is he about? What this and that?
Who exactly
is
Joe?
Who am I? So now, Still Breathing and also going
to
help anyone
to understand,
who needs to know, understand
yeah.
what I've gone through and why I was the way I was. So,
and why the way he is now. So
yeah.
if you read the book, honestly, mm-hmm. you'll have, because what you thought you knew about Joe,
yeah.
you're going to have a totally different comprehension of who he is, and you'll understand his journey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow, this is really Joe, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's like, wow, like, you know, all I can do is just commend you because
yeah.
you're like a very strong person.
Thank you.
Now, some people ask me a question. They say, why so long? Why did you wait so long in your life to finally say no?
I had to build up the strength to finally realize enough was enough,
mm-hmm.
and that I had to realize that I was tired of living in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I finally, like, I've lived and I've did things, but I couldn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really enjoyed anything, but now I want to be able to live and enjoy life without having that pain
mm-hmm.
still blocking me from a lot of things, because I feel as though I could have been much further in life
mm-hmm.
if that didn't happen to me, and it didn't affect my life so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get older and regret not fighting for my happiness,
mm-hmm.
for my joy. So.
So now you're living for you. You're not
mm-hmm.
living for anybody else. You're living for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing you. What are some of the things? I know you're doing a lot of volunteer work to
mm-hmm.
give back and things like that. What are some of the things you're doing?
Well, even through my pain and trauma,
mm-hmm.
I've always been the type of who have volunteered, who's helped the homeless, who fed the homeless, who helped anyone,
mm-hmm.
if you want to say that. I've always been a giving person and giver of my heart. One thing I can say about this whole ordeal is that it never affected my heart and my smile, because
mm-hmm.
I could be an evil, miserable, bitter person,
mm-hmm.
and I've not allowed anything that I've gone through, anything that anyone has done to me,
mm-hmm.
make me into this horrible person.
Exactly.
So, and I believe in service.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in giving back. And so that's why I'm a strict advocate and always doing that. So that's what I stand for now. So
definitely. And I know a lot of people, you know, I had a couple of people, I know they told me that they've dealt with their own person, whether your uncle or something,
mm-hmm.
or somebody that they trusted tried to touch them at a certain age, and they just felt kind of denied. Oh, Silco Thomas said, good
Thanks,
interview.
Silco.
Thanks, Silco.
Thanks, Silco.
Thanks for checking in with us.
Sure enough.
But, yeah, we're using this, you know, technology called VLive, so we were trying out and stuff. But I think I'm going to have to get a different camera or try to see if they can work the app through the phone and stuff or whatever just to see, like, the angling. But this is what, so we're going live on Facebook. We're going live on Joe's phone.
Mm-hmm.
We're going live on the radio. And we're going live on Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a whole bunch of contractions going on. You just can't see all the stuff. And we got some wine. And we have Joe's book also. Salud.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Joe. And we have his book, so make sure you go pick it up. You can Google it, Still Breathing by Joe Braxton, and you can check it out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
and Kindle.
And Kindle. Yeah. And so go ahead and support that. Remember, in the Jewish community, the dollar rotates all around several times, so we definitely need to support Black-owned businesses, support them and what he's doing right now. And this story might touch you. And even if it doesn't work in your life, you can share it with somebody else.
Well, the book, it's not predominantly based on sexual assault or sexual abuse. Now, it's called Still Breathing, How to End Your Life After Being Robbed. So it's about being robbed of anything that has maybe tried
whether
to suck
divorce,
your life.
Divorce,
pain,
anything.
Disease.
And you've overcame
anything.
It.
So
yeah.
Depression, I mean, anything. So if anything, you feel like anything has robbed you of your joy, I mean, if you read my story, and you can see why, if you can see how I'm still here, still breathing, then you can understand that you too can through it as well. So.
And you know what's, you know, when I first met, I met Joe, shout out to Micheline Bowman, I met Joe at Meet Me Monday, and I've always got this sense of, You always had this smile on your face. You always seemed so happy. But I just felt like there was more to you. I didn't know what it was, but it was more to you. Then when you dropped the book and I actually said, I really wanted to read your story. And I just got this different side of you. I'm like, this guy is a really strong man. And he's been through a lot, you know. And I always seen you giving back. And one thing I know, Joe, is the number one supporter. He will support you 100%, you know, and that's one thing that I love about you. And you're a very genuine person. So the world is ready to accept Joe, you know, and, you know, and we're glad that you're accepting you, loving you. And another thing is just also, let's talk about self-love, you know, because a lot of us, we feel that a person can fill our inner void of what we're missing, whether we're our father died. Like, I felt that way in one sense when my father died and stuff. Are you
sure? Those words.
Oh,
it's good to hear them.
Oh,
hear that.
I mean, because, like, my father died when I was young, and my mother had brought my old journals and stuff or whatever from back in the day, and I used to write to my teacher. And I really realized that I really was an emotionally distraught child because when my father died, it took a lot, and I had just realized that my father died, and I was always searching for that father figure. And my mother tried her best being a single mother, being there for me, but I felt like there was that void, and I tried to fill it with having people in my life or even having, like, sexual partners until I realized that I needed to love me. And it took a long time for me to love me and understood who I am, and I had to realize that I can't change who I am. This is who I am, and it made me stronger. And I try to be as supportive as I can to my daughter because I never want my daughter to feel that way. And I'm always involved in her life. If they call me right this second to go and jump and go see my daughter, I'll go do that. Because I realize those adolescent moments of a child's life are so very important, and you have to be there for them, and they need that because it's hard. This world is wolves.
And by you saying that, that's another thing I wanted to release this book for because I don't want to ever see another child go through anything like that. It's been very, very painful for me. And I could never see, like, I think children are precious. And I can never see another child going through anything like that. And to live or have gone through what I've gone through, it's a tragic story. But, and I want them to see it and know how to prevent it. So And when you get when you say self-love,
mm-hmm.
I'm also on that journey as
mm-hmm.
well. So now, I never felt worthy of love,
mm-hmm.
Worthy of being loved. I didn't think I deserved it. So now, every day I wake up, say I'm worthy. I'm worthy of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
God loves me. He loves me unconditionally. So you have to instill that in yourself,
mm-hmm.
that I love myself and
mm-hmm.
I'm worthy of being loved. So you can go out in the world and you know that you're loved and you're worthy to receive it. So
I understand, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
I used to be in a relationship. I'm like, why am I even here? Like, I was in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I even here?
Yeah.
You know, I did this outer body experience. I'm just looking down at myself. I said, I don't need to be here. Like, I used
yeah.
to cry and cry so much, like, why?
But some people don't
you
understand.
Know?
They always want to, like, just say, well, I would have left that relationship. But you don't.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy. You don't understand what people have gone through, what they're dealing with,
uh-huh.
and what's making them stay. It's
mm-hmm.
like it's this void that's being filled, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard until you – do you find the strength to break through? Yeah, that's when you can leave those abusive relationships. So
definitely.
Yeah.
And thank you to all our listeners and everybody tuning in via Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, you know, that's checking us out, and on the website www.letsradioonline.com and stuff like that. Joe, are there any other book signings or anything coming up, events and stuff we need to check you out at?
Well, working on Seven had the actual official book launch,
okay.
book launch yet. So
uh-huh.
working on that now.
Uh-huh.
And my birthday is in May. So
oh, my daughter's birthday is May too.
So you know, I'm also planning my birthday party
okay.
too as well. So it's coming soon.
Uh-huh.
They're working on that.
Uh-huh.
So if you would like a personally autographed copy of Still Reading, you can go on my website, thejoebraxton.com, and you can get that, and I'll ship it to you as well. So.
Oh, and let's talk about this wonderful headshot that you have right here. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, this photo itself just draws you into the depth
yeah.
of this book and stuff.
It was done by Jackie Hicks of Fond Memories.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. this book cover is just everything right now.
Yeah.
And, oh, some people always ask me, they be like, because you got this pretty hair, they be like, are you mixed or are you Indian? Like, are you like really, like, what are you mixed with?
It's black and Indian.
Black and Indian. Yeah. I mean, his hair is just so beautiful. I'm jealous.
I'm having a bad hair day today. So
I have
my Still Breeding hat on. So
yeah, make sure
yeah.
you can. He's all about
yeah.
branding. I mean,
yeah.
it's wonderful. And also, let's not talk about, he's also actually one of my sponsors. When I, most of the time, if you've seen when I was on with Denzel Washington, I had a lapel, the pink and white one. This was made by Joe Braxton.
Yeah, yeah.
Lapels for a cause, and these lapels, they come in different kind
styles,
of styles,
colors, yeah.
sizes, and you can take anything and turn it into a chic, you
yeah.
know, sexy outfit with these lapels, and they're unisex. You got ones for males
yeah.
and one for females, and they're all specialized for causes or your favorite team or whatever cause you have.
Fraternity. Yeah.
And they're all custom made by
yeah.
Joe. And how do they check that out, Joe?
Well, they can go to lapelsforcause.com. It's on Instagram at lapelsforcause, Twitter lapelsforcause. And I can do custom orders. If you have any, like, old neckties or old, like, cotton silk fabric shirts or your favorite, like, designer shirts or anything, I can make pins out of those. So all you have to do is, like, email me, and I'll get those. I'll make them for you, so.
Definitely,
yeah.
definitely. And for authors out there, writers
mm-hmm.
that are trying to get into writing, because a lot of people, you know, they say, yeah, I want to write, but it's taking too long. You know,
yeah.
what? So what, how, what kind of advice can you give these up-and-coming authors?
Well, I think by this being my first book,
mm-hmm.
this is a whole totally new experience for
mm-hmm.
me. So once you have it set that you want to write a book, you just have to do it. You just have to stay determined and do it. You just have to write and write and write. You just have to do it, because if you don't, it's not going to get done. So, and there are so many ways you can publish. You can independently publish a book. You can find a publisher who can who have you all done wrapped around your project. So, but I chose the independent route, so I had to do it on my own. So,
mm-hmm.
But it's either way you
hey,
want.
Hey, Pam.
So, hey, how are you? It's either way you want, either route you want to go. So, it's easy. Like I said, you have to start writing, and you have to keep writing and keep doing it until you feel you're satisfied.
Do you think it's easier getting a ghostwriter or just doing John Down? What are the tips? Do you just keep writing a log, or how do you go about doing it?
I guess you can go either way, either route you want to go.
Uh-huh.
It's just based on if you want someone to if you don't feel you can write or get your story drafted the way
uh-huh.
you want to yourself.
Uh-huh.
You, there are ghostwriters out here you can find to write your story for you. So there are so many routes you can take. I mean,
how long did it take you to write Still Breathing?
Well, it was like two years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years?
Two
oh,
years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you doing like little journal thoughts or
were
you just all
well, here? I got a journal and you
uh-huh.
just have to write. You, have,
okay.
you just have to just write. Just things just have to relive your past. Whatever you want to write up, you just have to just write. Whatever
uh-huh.
you're going through, just write. Like, you know, my book's not too large. So
it's the perfect size.
Perfect size for females and males.
Uh-huh.
So
you can put it right in your purse,
yeah.
right in your briefcase.
Yeah. So
you can actually literally stick it in your
pocket,
yeah,
right
so
here. I'm glad it was like that. I'm glad it's that size. But it's a deep, profound story. It's short but straight to the point.
Yeah.
And the reviews that I'm getting from it, it's overwhelming because I have men telling me they're crying and it's like wow. Like so it's good. So and I appreciate all the support as well. So yeah.
I guess somebody wanted to I guess on they
just
need
turn
to
your
turn
phone
the phone up.
Oh, okay.
So did we have any questions for anybody out there? Anybody have any questions on Facebook or on IG, do you have any questions you want to ask?
Hey, everyone.
Hey. And you can also listen if you're on www.lessradioonline.com. We're also live on there. So, you know, make sure you guys check it out. Make sure you support Joe and what he's doing and just, you know, support entrepreneurs, you know, definitely.
Another thing is I'm big on supporting. I mean, even though I know so many people are like, Joe is crazy. I was talking about supporting this. And I said, well, you know, people, we have to support each other because you go into other races and it's no question or any doubt or no doubt about them supporting each other because they are. And it's like, it's so hard for us as a community to support each other because there's so much competition. There's so much greed. There's so much trying to top this and top that one. And we have to get out of that. I mean, society has become so materialistic, so superficial. It has to stop.
It definitely
has to stop. And we have to get better. We have to start supporting each other. If we
exactly.
don't support each other, that's why we have to. That's why when things happen, we can't get changed because we don't stick with each other. We don't support each other, and we have to. And fame and celebrity and greed, you don't have to sell your soul for it.
You
like,
don't have to sell yourself for it.
Be yourself, and it is going to come to you. So,
exactly.
And that's why I try to, I'm strict about supporting, so I know, I'm sorry if I'm always fussing about it, but I love supporting, so we have to.
We definitely have to support each other, and like he said, you go to any race, and I mean, they're not looking for discounts. They're not looking at anything. If they say support, they're there. Even if it's to repost, even if it's just to say put awareness about what's going on, they're there.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get out of this crab in a barrel stereotype or mind frame, and get out of that. We need to support each other because, like my mentor told me a long time ago. He told me that, Daryl Bumpus, he told me, he said, my success is your success. So if Joe becomes successful with me supporting him,
mm-hmm.
I know it's still going to reach back. If it's not today, it's not tomorrow. But I know eventually when Joe gets somewhere, if it's not even Joe, I'm going to get a blessing.
Yeah.
You're going to get a blessing. So we need to get out of, you know, these mind frames. But once again, we also need to watch out for these users too, these leeches that want to leech off of your hard work and things like that. So, you know, we have to pray every day and tell God to give us the eyes and the mindset to see these wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, and to take them away from our lives,
but,
you know,
early. But they can
be
leeches as long as we're supporting each other in
exactly.
the process. I mean, but
exactly.
it's not about taking and taking, as long as we're giving and taking with each other. I mean, but even though it's always good to give, you don't have to always expect something in return, but,
no,
but these days there's a lot of take and take and take, and they won't give whatsoever. So, and also with Still Breathing, there's a lot of people who don't want to touch the topic of a male survivor or black male survivor talking about this type of subject. And so I think we have to break that barrier of being comfortable with talking about this subject, because if not, it's going to keep going on and keep going on, and it's time to put an end to this type of abuse. So, because it's there, it's out there. It's not just females, children, it's males too. So we all have to fix this. So.
Well, we have this whole thing like it's taboo, you know, when they bring it up, oh, men can never, how can a man get raped? He's strong. Now, I had a friend, there was a situation that happened, and one of the relatives actually was walking, young man, he was walking to the store to go get his grocery stores, la-la-la-la, walking. Who would suspect that during the day, four or five guys would come and rape him and beat him to a bloody pulp? I mean, he's gay now, but he went through a struggle himself.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's traumatized. It's not like it's just one person. You have five or six different people.
Oh, wow.
You don't know what is going on, you know? And then mentally, you know, you have people that have been raped, whether they're female or male, and they contracted diseases, you know, and different things. And it's something you got to live for the rest of your life. So, you know, we just thank God that there are people surviving and they're getting through that. Now, when it comes to kids, how do you view kids later on, you know, down the road? Would you, you know, if you had a kid, how would you, you know, talk to them about things like that? Would you be more open to talk to them? Because sometimes I think parents are scared to talk to their kids also.
When it comes to kids, I mean, I love to see kids. I think about that all the time, about kids. And for some reason, I don't want to bring a kid into this world. I think this is an evil world, and it's a cold world. And I wouldn't want to bring a kid into a child to this world.
Wow.
I think about that all the time, even though it would be nice to have someone, another Joe Braxton or whoever.
Joe.
But
even though
maybe think my thoughts may change, but this is a cold world, and as nice as I've been, and as nice of a person I am, and the stuff I've have to deal with, I mean, I don't want them to go through that. So
exactly,
but. I just think if I had a kid, I'll be crazy. I think I'll be overly protective.
It'll be
a crazy situation if I had a child, I think.
And just like what you said, when I was in a homeless shelter actually, with when I was homeless, there was a young lady that was bunking next to me, and I had my daughter. She was so overprotective because her kids can do this or whatever. And I sat down with her. I said, somebody did something to her because most even the women that are in the lifestyle, some of them might be into prostitution or they might be you know, dancing. Sometimes not all of them, but sometimes somebody did something to them and they jumped into that lifestyle or whatever, right? So it's a lot of different things. That may happen. So, you know, we can't judge a book by its cover. We don't know anybody's story. My story, I've been through a lot of stuff, you know. I'm eventually going to write my book, and it's going to be long. But, I mean, like, the thing is, she said that her own father drugged her. And she was not remembering anything until her sister walked in and found her father touching her sister and was drugging her.
Sex runs a lot of things. In this world, sex is powerful, and I think sometimes we have to learn how to control. And I'm also learning how to control my sexual thoughts too, because when you're raped, molested, sex becomes a part of you, and it's like you want it, and I had to also I've done things as though, you know, I became a porn addict. And
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with you.
I became a porn addict, and I have to. Right?
No, I'll be honest with you. I had that same situation, too.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, and I had to control myself.
Yeah, so, but instead of, like, out here just screwing everybody, I just became a porn addict. So every day I would have to masturbate every day. To relieve those thoughts. And right now I make sure I don't have any Wi-Fi, so I won't connect to my business or anything every day. So I'm taking steps to help heal myself and better myself.
Well, you know, Kirk Franklin had his situation with that also. So
yeah.
I mean, everybody has their different situations, and they have, and I don't judge anybody because, like, if you know. Overseas in Europe, a lot of things that we say are taboo are not taboo over there, you know. And you know this human trafficking thing is a big issue, and they're running kids through New York and all kinds of crazy stuff
going
on.
It's crazy to do that. It's trifling to do that to kids.
Terrible.
They're
not even enjoying their life. Their stuff. And shame on those people that are grown businessmen that are out here actually purchasing these young babies, you know, and the families that are actually, there's women that actually have sold their children for a fix, or just because they want to stay with that man and he has money and he doesn't prefer her anymore and he wants the child. So we have to be aware of what we're doing. We have to be aware of where our children are at. We need to be, like, my daughter, I love her to death. I will kill somebody if they did something to my daughter.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly trying to be, like, I'm not perfect, but I try to talk to her about what's going on. And I'm overprotective. If she goes to a friend, I'll be like, did anybody touch you? Did they do this?
Yeah.
Did they do? And she's like, I'm freaking out. And even with my relationships, too, I've done that. Like, why is that person talking to you too long? You know, and it might be paranoia, and, you know, it's because I've seen too many things, you know. I've been in bad situations. I've almost got raped. I've had so many situations going on, so I don't want that to happen to my child. The worst thing to know, and your child coming to you, it hurts a parent more than anything, because it's like, where was I at?
Yeah.
Why couldn't I save my child?
Yeah.
Why couldn't I be that person there? And then I know that kid at that age is like, where's my mommy at? I want my mommy. I want my daddy.
Yeah.
And you're not there. No work, no nothing is that important to not be there in your child's life.
Yeah.
Point blank. I don't care how busy this world is, and I know we live in a microwave society, but we have to make time for our children.
Mm-hmm.
We're the guardians of their souls until they get old enough to take care of themselves, and we have to be there for the children.
Well, also, we have a lot of situations where the parents are dealing with their own situations.
Exactly.
They may have gone through the same thing, and
exactly.
It's like they're also on the road of recovery and finding happiness and love for themselves. So, and it's kind of not hard, but while they're in healing or therapy for themselves, they still have their kids. So it's like, sometimes there are certain situations you just have to understand, but you just have to learn how to be involved.
You're right at that, because
I
felt a certain way in regards to, like, my mother and stuff like that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when my father died, it took a lot, and she was still trying to deal, but she wasn't really dealing with it properly. So I understand what you're saying. Sometimes the parents trying to be healed, but inside they're crying all the time.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I might be smiling. You know, we're dealing with our own demons.
Yeah.
Every single day, but we ask God every day to keep us moving, because, you know, it's a lot of people that could be committing suicide, but, you know, without the help of God, a lot of prayer and just having some, because sometimes there's some friends that you call, you can't even tell them certain things. Don't be judgmental, I tell you people. Don't be judgmental. Don't judge a book by a cover. Understand somebody's story and understand that. Don't judge a book by its cover, because there might be more depth into it than you might not even know.
Right.
You know, so, you know, Joe, I'm just, all I can say is that I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're an amazing individual. Also, his fashion sense is off the hook. That's all I can say. He is fly, you know, he says fly.
Well, you know, I used to pride myself on wrestling night. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get it back. You know, mm-hmm. For a couple of years, these past 2 years, I just gave up.
I've never seen you slow.
Well, I feel as though, you know, I gained almost 30, 40 pounds, and I just gave up. And I said, you know, I just didn't care anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
And so now I'm just trying to get back in good shape, good health, and trying to just get it all on a positive road. So,
well, I think everybody gets to a point of that time where
mm-hmm.
we feel like, we second guess ourselves and stuff. I'm on the road trying to get, you know,
mm-hmm.
my health and stuff back together and stuff. And, you know, a lot of that deals with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is the number one killer and stress. So we have to, you know, acknowledge the depression and the stress. And we have to take breathers and do things for yourself.
Yes.
I challenge you every day to do at least, you know, one thing for yourself or even once a month, whether it's buying a new outfit or going out. Or doing something, you know, just do something for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you work too hard.
Yeah.
Feel
that you love yourself.
Exactly.
You must love
self-love.
Yourself.
Self-love.
Self-care, self-love. You
exactly.
must love yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Joe, once again, how can people check you out on social media, your website, everything like that?
So, my website is thejoebraxton.com. Also, you can order a personalized autographed copy of Still Breathing, How to Regain Your Life After Being Robbed there. You can also order the lapels for cause, the lapel flowers, the lapel pins, the custom made, whatever design or style you may want or like. Excuse me. On Instagram, you can go to lapels for cause. Twitter is lapels for cause. My personal on Instagram is the Joe Braxton. On Twitter, it's Joe Braxton Touch. For Still Breathing, you can go to Still Breathing Book on Instagram. On Twitter, it's SB Book J Braxton. And I guess that's about it.
Also, you can book him for any speaking engagements and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know plenty of you guys are having events coming up soon, and you need speakers. You know, so definitely book them. I also do motivational speaking too, but make sure you book Joe. And you know, if you're looking for some book signings and stuff, need an author. Holler at my boy Joe right here.
Thank you.
Anything, any key points you want any of these people to take away with them today?
One thing, this is one of my favorite quotes, is that there's power in your purpose, and we all have a story. So never judge anyone by what you've heard. We all have a story. And until you get to know a person yourself, then that's when you judge on your own behalf. So I would like to say that.
Definitely. This your girl, Lushy Lush. Lush Radio Online. You already know what it is, man. We're all the way live. Big shout out to Rhonda Supreme. She's doing her thing out there in New Jersey.
Hey, Rhonda.
Definitely. So, thank you to Pam Eagleston, my yoga teacher. Had a great yoga session today. And shout out to all those people who have birthdays in April. You know, definitely shout out to you guys. So it's a lot of great things that are going on this month. So check it out. Spread love. I don't do it for me. I do it for the people because we are the people's voice, Lush Radio Online. And life may throw you a curveball, but remember, you are in control of what direction it goes. So we love you. We bid
you
adieu. And we're out. Peace, love, and chicken grease. Peace.
Oh, that was cool.
Let's see how that went.
What happened?
Oh, no, it was okay.
Oh. Oh, you was teasing that thing. No, they were sitting in there, and they was a lot of states said you had some good stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
sometimes my concentration goes from there. I was like, what the hell? I was like, I forgot what the team was asking me. I was like, oh my God. Like,
oh man. That was fun, but we talked about a lot of good stuff though.
Yeah.